from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has just released a brilliant new record called Be Here Instead, his fifth full length. It's Parker Millsap. Hello, welcome.
Hello, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, it's our pleasure. And I guess it's welcome in a way because you are physically where today?
I am in Madison, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, in my basement. This is my basement.
In your basement? Is this a room that doubles as your recording studio, or?
It's not a it's a demo studio. I've never made a record with my own equipment, but it's definitely a rehearsal studio and demo studio and music listening room and, you know, all that.
How long have you been in that area, Nashville?
I've been in Nashville about 7 years now.
You liking it?
I really like it. The first like 5 years I was here, I was touring so much that I kind of hardly got to know it. You know, I got to know a lot of people here, but so many musicians were in and out of town, and then I was out of town so much. But the past year and a half, especially, I've gotten to know it even more. You know, being
walking your neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. I know, we have a loop. I know that loop really well.
Now, you are originally from the Midwest, right? Like a little town outside of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I'm from Oklahoma, a little town called Purcell.
And what's it like?
It's small. I mean, I grew up there and I lived there, you know, for the first 18 years of my life. So I didn't have a lot of reference for what it was like compared to other places, but there's a lot of oil, there's a lot of cattle, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of football playing, and a lot of wide open sky.
Now, how many of those things are in your past? The churches, the cattle, the football playing?
Let's see, well, I haven't completely quit meat, but I eat way less of it. I haven't played a sport since I was 13. The big open skies is probably what I'm, you know, I mean, my family, I miss my family, but I also miss the big wide open skies in Oklahoma. Don't get as much sunset here in Tennessee. There's hills in the way.
The church, this was where you really kind of got started making music, singing and stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to church at least twice a week, sometimes three or four times a week from age, you know, four until about 18. And, you know, started playing guitar when I was about seven. Mm. And by the time I was about nine, I knew enough chords that they would, like, put me down in front, you know, and let me play along with the church band. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so there was a lot of music, and it was very, like, fun and lively music compared to, you know, certain other churches. There are all kinds of beautiful church music, but I grew up with a lot of, like, you know, up-tempo praise and worship going on.
You have pointed to a specific English teacher that got you into words and wordplay and lyric writing. Who was that, and what did they do for you?
Miss Dyson, my junior English teacher, she just made us write a lot. we just had a ton of writing assignments, so she made me write a lot. And had I not been forced to, I don't know that I would have. But once I started, I realized how much I liked it, you know. And by that point, I was already playing guitar and, like, trying to write songs and stuff like that. So to me, it kind of seemed like a complimentary practice to write. And, you know, most of it was, like, short stories and journaling and stuff like that. But just that practice of it, it made me aware of what it can do for you, you know.
Yeah. Now, 13 years old, 14 years old, you start writing your own songs. Mm-hmm. Was there someone that you wanted to be, like someone that you wanted to be, you know, that you were emulating in your style and your desire before you really kind of matured and became Parker Millsap?
Yeah, there are a few. The first influences I had were like some Texas singer-songwriters like Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keen. So just really classic, like, storytelling kind of songwriters. And then when I was, I think I was 13 or 14 when that John Mayer Trio record came out, which for me, like, I was a big blues fan. My parents were into blues music, and I played guitar and was into blues. So seeing somebody have like real commercial success, you know, and put out a big record and be playing guitar and blues based and writing his own songs. That was really inspiring for me, you know, because I had mostly listened to Texas singer songwriters for a while, and then I got into blues music and like Eric Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan. And for me, John Mayer was one of the first artists I was aware of that kind of put those two worlds together, where he is writing songs and some of them were storytelling, but he's also, you know, doing different things harmonically and playing great guitar licks as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, this new record certainly still blues based, but there are a lot of new different things going on compared to some of your previous efforts. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. First, I would love to hear a song. Parker Millsap is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Be Here Instead. What are you going to play first for us? I'm assuming it's going to be on an acoustic guitar. And what can you tell me about the tune?
Yeah, this song's called Now Here, and there's a line in it, Be Here Instead, which is the title of the record. And this one I wrote on the iPad with GarageBand, using a bunch of synthesizers and stuff like that. It kind of sounds like a rubber factory or something. Like, I don't know, it sounds rubbery to me. But I figured out how to do it on an acoustic guitar, so I'm going to do that now.
Fantastic. This is Parker Millsap.
Stop looking behind. You will not find anything there. Stop looking ahead. Be here instead. This is the prayer. Guess what's to come? That ain't no fun. That ain't no fair. Don't put yesterday on the replay. You were just there. Here is the place you can keep
That's called Now Here. Parker Millsap playing for us a version of that tune, vastly different from the version that you'll find on the new record called Be Here Instead. You have talked about this being the funnest recording project for you to date. Mm-hmm. Why?
I think one reason is that I have made enough records now that I don't feel so much pressure to get it, quote, right. You know, I've done enough records at this point now that I understand that the recording process is its own beast. And no matter how much prep you do, it's always going to sound different than it did in your head when you first conceived of it, because it's going through a million different things. You know, it's by the time it goes from my brain to the page to the band and gets filtered through all their ideas, and then it goes through the gear, and then it gets filtered through the producer's idea of how it's going to be mixed, all this stuff. And a lot of that stuff you can't even really communicate with words exactly how you want it to sound anyways. So this one, I was just prepared for that. I was prepared for it to go any which way. But I also did a lot of prep with the band and, you know, getting ready for things to change on us. You know, we did tons of rehearsal so that when we went into the studio, we weren't worried about, like, is this where the chord change happens? Like, we knew the songs well enough that we could kind of try them in slightly different ways, and that wouldn't, you know, throw us off, because we had already played the songs, you know, quite a few times. And it was also really fun because the producer, John Aniello, is just a really fun person. He's like, I've never had a producer that felt like cheerleader was part of their role, but he somehow makes that like part of his role in a really great way. You know, he's just really encouraging, and anytime something great would happen at the end of the take, he'd get on the talkback mic and, you know, tell you what he really liked about that. And he just carried a really positive energy through the whole thing. And he got visibly excited when something cool would happen. And that, you know, in turn makes us excited. Musicians, we're often playing to a crowd. And we know that we've done well when the crowd responds. But in the studio, you don't always get that reaction. So having somebody who can, you know, really let you know that they appreciate what you've done in a way that has a lot of energy behind it, it brings it closer to performing for, you know, a crowd.
Yeah, like those air punches in the background, right?
Like, yeah, got it right. Yeah, yeah, like you'd see him like yelling in the control room. You couldn't hear him, you know, because he's separated by three walls of glass or whatever. But
that's cool.
You could see him getting excited in there, and that that gets you excited.
Were you concerned at all that with all of the new sounds, literal sounds, but also new elements, that it was going to be hard to kind of contain this in a box, in a package of Parker Millsap?
I had some hesitation about that towards the beginning, but I've had multiple people tell me this over the years, and I don't know if I really believed it until this record. But the producer at one point, John, he told me, he was like, dude, it's your voice. Like, your voice is the connecting thread. Like, no matter what the instrumentation is from song to song, like, your voice and your lyrics are the thing that make it you, and that's going to come through. Like, no matter how it's dressed up, like, your songwriting and your voice are distinct, and that's going to, you know, make it sound like you. So that put me at ease, and the more I think about that, the more I realize, like, that's just true for most artists. Like, you know, Leonard Cohen from the beginning to the end, or Tom Waits from the beginning to where he's at in his career now, they've changed so much, but you still hear them and their unique perspective no matter how it's dressed up.
I'd love to hear another tune. Parker Millsap is my guest today. We're talking about the new album called Be Here Instead. That album came out April 9th, by the way. Be Here Instead. It's his fifth full length, and he joins me from his home outside of Nashville. Will you play another tune?
Yeah, this song's called It Was You.
Me when I was aching, who dried the tears I bled, who was it when I was shaking that sat by the bed, the hand on my head. Who was it when I was breaking? That came and made the mend. When everybody was faking and playing pretend, I had a friend. Someone came and refilled me. Someone came and they healed me. Someone carried me through. Someone pulled the veil and revealed me. It was you. When all the waters were rising, found that higher ground. And who stared out toward the horizon? Who followed the sound back homeward bound? And who blew the wind that sailed me back in? Someone came and refilled me. Someone came and they healed me. Someone carried me through. Someone pulled the veil and revealed me. It was you. Someone came and refilled me. Someone came and they healed me. Someone carried me through. Someone pulled the veil and revealed me. It was you.
That is Parker Millsap playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. If It Was You, another tune from the new record called Be Here Instead. Now, you mentioned earlier that you wrote or at least started sketching ideas for Now Here on an iPad. There are a lot of keyboard sounds on this record. Are you a keyboard player at all?
I can play in the key of C, which if you're a real if you're a real pianist and you're listening, you're like, okay, you can't play piano. But yeah, a lot of this stuff I wrote on an iPad using a lot of the built-in GarageBand synths and stuff like that, and I got a little, you know, like $75 MIDI controller that's, you know, about a foot and a half long, and a lot of the writing that I did with the piano on this record happened that way.
Well, if you can play in C on an electric keyboard, you can play in any key, right?
I mean, the transpose key is my friend.
Now, when you're putting the songs for this record together, even before you're in the production studio and you've got electronic sounds that are coming out of a keyboard or a sound bank, are you thinking about, oh, man, at some point, we've got to take these out on the road? Like, how do we convert these into band songs versus studio creation?
Yeah. I haven't had to think about that a lot before this record, because a lot of my stuff before this has been written on a guitar or written specifically with a certain band in mind. But a lot of this stuff I wrote without much preconceived notion. It was more just like following the muse a little bit of like, oh, I like that sound. This is inspiring. I'll keep working on this idea until a lyric comes to mind and like, oh, that feels right. And this melody feels good for that. So specifically with this batch of songs, I really wasn't thinking about how it was going to be approximated live. And really, I didn't even know at first how much of the like garage band stuff was going to make it to the real record. It was more just like a songwriting tool. Like I was thinking of the iPad and using GarageBand as a songwriting tool in a similar way that I would use a guitar, just like sit down with it and mess with it until a good idea comes out. So I was really just searching for songs, not sounds, but the sounds kind of helped me get there. And then once I started picking songs for the record and got a band together, then we started trying to figure out how to do them as a band. And there was some stuff, a lot of stuff ended up being like on the iPad, and then we just figured out how to recreate it as a band in the room, and then we would go record it like that, like record it live.
Okay.
And then do overdubs to approximate certain sounds. Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple instances of things where we learned the demo that was on the iPad, and then we would play the demo to a click track that's the same speed as the iPad, so or the demo that's on the iPad, so I could just like grab pieces and paste them in, you know. So there are a few examples where it's like a super hi-fi full band recording in the studio, basically live, but then there are GarageBand synths and stuff like that that we would. A couple times I was able to just send him a file and then we could drag it around until it's like, okay, yeah, that's where it should go. And then some of them, I just hit play. He would like, okay, let's hit, you know, you hit play on the iPad while I hit play on the recording computer. And then we'll take a line out of the iPad. So the iPad just playing along, recording all of the weird stuff onto one track on top of the full band take that we had done to the same tempo. So a lot of fun, weird stuff like that happened, but really a lot of it ended up being like based, with a couple exceptions, a lot of it was based on like full band live takes that we would go back and, you know, gussy up a little bit.
You have been talking, or at least writing online, about some kind of mental shift going on in the way that you think about and approach your profession of getting out on the road, touring, driving, burning through gallons of gasoline. Tell me where this kind of started and what you're hoping to accomplish with this new way of thinking.
Yeah, I'm not sure entirely where it started. I think we've all been aware of climate change and global warming and the effects that, you know, carbon emissions have on our planet for a while. But we haven't really seen any major fallout from it yet. But that started to happen. I mean, the past month and a half, I mean, you know, you're up near it. Wildfires, the flooding in Europe, we're starting to really see the ways in which our need to go so fast, so hard, so much are starting to come back on us a little bit. So being off the road a little bit and just kind of learning to see the world through a little bit more of a, maybe a lens that has a little bit longer scope on it, I guess, where, you know, I've just been thinking a lot about geological time, you know, looking at anytime I see rocks, I'm like, man, how long did it take for those rocks to form, you know? And thinking about things on evolutionary time, like I planted some wildflowers in my backyard this year, so I've had a lot more butterflies, and then seeing all the different kinds of butterflies and thinking about, like, how many millions of years ago did those split off into two different kinds of butterfly, you know? Like, at one point, those were the same species, and then they broke apart. And just thinking about the world in that way makes me feel more connected to the planet, more connected to nature, you know? Like, we think we're, part of nature or something, but we are nature. We are a byproduct of the natural systems of this world, and we owe it to the other pieces of this natural system to be kind to them and to promote them. I mean, indigenous communities, that's what most of their religions and belief systems are based on, is promoting and preserving this planet that we have. And I think we have a lot to learn from them.
So what kinds of things are you hoping to do yourself going forward?
As soon as there's an electric van available, you know I'm going to buy it. I mean, come on, Elon or whoever works, wherever, like whoever's got an electric van coming up, like get it done, because every band I know wants one. Music is a force for good, and we don't want to have to, you know, take a toll on the planet and our fellow man and our fellow creatures just to go play music. We want net positive, and having to burn through thousands of gallons of gasoline and, you know, water bottles and things like that, they don't help. So I mean, little things you can personally do for me is like, don't ask for water bottles when you go on tour. Make sure that your tour routing makes sense so you're not wasting tons of gas that doesn't need to be burned. Things like that. But I think the real change is going to have to be us putting pressure on legislators. You know, a lot of this stuff is bigger than any individual person. This is going to take giant collective action. And the way that we know how to do that is through policy. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's not fun to call your senators and your congresspeople. It's nerve-wracking. It makes you so nervous for, you know. But it shouldn't. That's democracy. That's participating. And that's what we're going to have to do.
During this shutdown period, you have spent quite a bit of time on a couple of different things. One is you've been working with your wife and planting a bunch of trees.
Yeah. My wife works for this campaign here in Nashville called Root Nashville, and it's a public-private partnership in conjunction with like the mayor's office and a bunch of other local tree nonprofits and the local environmental Cumberland River Compact nonprofit. And the goal is to plant 500,000 trees in Davidson County by 2050. And they're at many thousands now. And last year, because I wasn't on tour, I got volunteered to plant a lot of trees. But now I volunteer because I love it. I really love it feels like giving back to the earth, you know.
Now, are you actually like poking the hole in the ground? And
oh yeah, we're digging, and a lot of the ones we plant are ball and burlap trees. So they're like 8 feet tall, usually like at least one inch caliper on the trunk, like a big 100-pound root ball that you got to dig out a big hole and put it in, and backfill it, and mulch it, and water it. Mm. So, it's one of the most satisfying things, like next to walking off stage after a great show. It's about the most satisfying thing for my soul I can do.
Now, before I let you go today, I've got to ask about this notebook that I have heard about, that you keep this notebook full of song lyrics and song titles and just inspirational ideas and quotes. Have you been doing that your whole life?
I've always had pieces of paper just floating around my life. Like if I get an idea, I'll write it down on whatever piece of paper is close. And then,
so how excited were you when Post-its were invented?
I probably wasn't born, but I have tons of notebooks, but usually when I start making a record in earnest, I'll buy a notebook that's like, okay, this is the notebook for this record. And I'll kind of gather all the pieces of paper and put them in there. But then also that's like where I start taking notes and like revisions for lyrics. So for me, lyrics, a lot of times, like I'll write a whole song out by hand. And then when I go to make revisions, I'll often just write the whole thing down again. Instead of like erasing or crossing out, I'll just start from the top again and rewrite the whole thing. And some of it, I think, is subconsciously to help me remember the lyrics, because the more you write something down, it just like it glues it in your brain.
Yeah.
But some of it is, I think, that it feels like I'm writing the song again, like a fresh version of the song. Even if 90% of the lyrics are the same, like starting from the top and writing it all the way out makes it feel like a new creation rather than editing.
It's a cool way to chronicle your journey through each of the various albums that you've done.
Yeah, and you know, it's not organized at all. I just have this drawer in this room over here that's just like a stack of stuff. One day maybe an archivist will come help me organize it all. But it is interesting. So every once in a while I'll be going back through looking for something, and I'll find a version of a song, and I'm like, oh yeah, that verse never made it.
Right on. Well, I'm thrilled you had time to share a bit of your process and your music with us today. Parker Millsap is my guest on JPR Live Sessions. His new record came out in April. It's called Be Here Instead. Will you play one more tune?
Yeah, this song's called Empty.
I am a clown. Once it has fallen, I am the tank. The engine is stalling. I am the words of ex-lovers calling. I am done. Say it's silly. I have been drowning. I am empty, but now it's raining. But now it's raining. I am the place we used to go. I am the light that doesn't glow. I am the brawler after the blow. I am the venue after the show. I'll say it simply. I have been drowning. I am now it's raining.
Empty is the name of that one. Parker Millsap playing for us today. Music from his new album called Be Here Instead. Parker, a great pleasure to chat with you. Thanks. Look forward to seeing you in person.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you.